Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. There are only 3 weeks until the municipal election on October 24th. Once more, here are interviews with mayoral candidates running for office across Northumberland County. I will not be interviewing deputy mayor or council candidates. There are just too many of them. However, you can go to the radio station's website or to the website for this show to find candidate information. The first interview this week is with Brian Orstrander, who is running for mayor of Brighton. Here is Brian Orstrander. I'm so pleased to have with me today Brian Orstrander, candidate for mayor of Brighton. Welcome to Consider This Northumberland.
Thanks, Robert. Really appreciate being able to join you. And not just a candidate, but I am the mayor of Brighton.
There are some people who may not know you. So let's just begin by introducing yourself as a candidate for mayor.
I'm Brian Orstrander. I was raised here in Brighton. I'm a graduate of both Brighton Public School and East Northumberland Secondary School. I have a Bachelor of Arts degree out of York University. I have been in the book and magazine printing business since 1992, where I continue to work because, you know, the mayor's job just doesn't pay enough to pay the mortgage. So and there are expectations at home that I'm going to help out. So we continue doing that as well. I am a former director of the Northumberland United Way, and have volunteered my time widely, both here in Brighton and throughout Northumberland County.
What role do you see the municipality playing? You've been losing physicians, but you've also been recruiting. And I just wanted to know, what are you doing and what is council doing to address this very important problem?
So I think there's a few approaches I can take in answering that question. First, I'm going to use my normal line here, which is, you know, Brighton doesn't have a hospital inside its municipality, but we are fortunate enough to have three hospitals in Northumberland Hills Hospital, Campbellford Memorial Hospital, and of course, to the east of us at Trent Memorial Hospital. So we work very closely with all of the leadership teams. I meet fairly regularly with all of the leadership teams to find out what we can do better to assist them in their recruitment needs, because it's not just about recruiting doctors for Brighton, primary care physicians for Brighton. That's important, and I'll get to that. But it's about ensuring that the healthcare professionals are on site and on staff at those three hospitals for when we need to use those hospitals. We want to make sure they're properly staffed. So we need to know that those funds are in place. So from a financial perspective, Robert, what Brighton does, we have done historically, is included in our budget monies for the foundations, the three foundations, so that they can buy equipment or whatever they need to be purchasing to ensure that their hospitals are moving forward in the way that they strategically believe is best. Recently, this year, for Campbellford and Northumberland Hills, that responsibility was taken up by the county. So it did alleviate some pressure from our local budget to only have to help fund the Trent Memorial Hospital Foundation. But, you know, we recognize that when we shift money from Brighton to the county, it still comes from the same taxpayer. So, you know, we didn't double down on that locally as well. I'm just going to shift the conversation, if you don't mind, to local physician recruitment. We do have a physician recruitment body here in Brighton, Docs by the Bay, which is the Trent Memorial Hospital Foundation's physician recruitment team. And they are working very, very hard to ensure that Brighton has a constant steady flow of new doctors coming into the community. They've recruited 3 doctors this term. We believe there's another one on the hook. No announcement yet, but we're pretty sure the one will be made fairly soon. And of course, like many small communities, we offer an incentive when a doctor agrees to come and stay for 5 or more years. So that's about $100,000 that we offer as an incentive to ensure that we're landing the recruits that Docs by the Bay brings to us.
In the past 15 months, your fire chief, planning manager, manager of capital infrastructure, deputy clerk, you lost your head of public works recently, and you were giving them generous praise for what a fantastic job they did. He stayed for 3 years. There's recent job postings on your website around managers, planners, all those good things. Why were you so opposed to an internal organizational review?
Yeah, fair question. My opposition to that was because, you know, I think the reason for people vacating the municipality is fairly cut and dry. On one level, we have people have options. We live in we're a very small community, as you know, just over 12,000 people. Lots of opportunity to the east and to the north and to the west. So surrounding us are larger communities that can recruit at higher dollar values, other people. But the reality is, Robert, some of these people have left our employment opportunities here in Brighton for less money. And that has happened because they have felt that they can find better quality of life elsewhere. The reality is I oppose that audit. I guess it's being called HR audit because I thought the answers were cut and dry. I think that, in my opinion, if a member of council or a couple of members of council were to behave more appropriately, stop interfering with staff, we would see a better staff council, a better staff resident relations, and we'd have better ability to retain staff and recruit staff, quite frankly.
With that in mind, then, what steps did you take over your term in office as mayor to remediate that then?
I've had frank conversations with the member that I believed was doing these things. Those frank conversations didn't bear the fruit I had hoped that they would. And my suspicion is that we will see that information coming out in this audit.
Speaking of that, then, when do you expect any reports coming back to council? Because I know it was only recently that the RFP went out and was accepted. So when do you expect the report to come back?
It's my understanding that report is substantially completed, that there is a portion of the workflow that requires a senior staff to get together with the consultant. Once that's completed, a report will go out to council and we'll be able to flesh that out into the public.
Will that take place before the election?
I would anticipate that it will.
All right. How are you going to make life better in Brighton compared to the last 4 years?
Well, you know, life's been pretty good in Brighton, even through a global pandemic. So, you know, is it about making life better, or is it about how do we keep life really great here? And you know, I think maybe that's more what I'd like to focus on is how are we going to keep things, how are we going to keep the progress moving forward here in Brighton, and how are we going to keep things stable at the council table, because that's what we've seen for these past 4 years. What I wanted to do when I came to the mayor's office was to calm the waters at the council table, because we'd seen some pretty raucous behavior over the course of the last few years, last couple of terms, and I wanted to ensure that we had those plans in place that could carry the municipality forward, put it on a good path. So in the next 4 years, what I want to ensure is that we continue that calm, that we continue to see around the council table those compromises that keep us moving forward, and my intention will be to continue to build the consensus that I've been able to build through the last 4 years around the council table. And of course, we need to then take those plans we've put in place and do more of the work. We did a lot of the work on those plans, but do more of the work that those plans set out. What I don't want is a return to chaos. And what I don't want is for all of the hard work we've done, putting those plans in place to be shelved, only to start again.
There is a lot of pressure in development in Brighton. There's various subdivisions and other developments. But then again, there's the treatment of wastewater that continues to be an ongoing issue. And as of June 2022, the town initiated an addendum to the 2018 class environmental assessment. There is a proposal for an upgrade. Yet this seems like it's another study that's addressing this key issue. Now, some residents may feel that there is a lot of money being spent and not enough action. What would you say to those people?
So what I will say is the actions we've taken so far, the next study, as you've called it, is an addendum to our environmental assessment. So what we had coming out of the last term of council was an environmental assessment that permitted us to move forward with that bioreactor system, which many of us thought was much too experimental for our environment here in Brighton. The Canadian environment, I mean, the harsh weather we get in the winter. And we just didn't see the evidence that it was a good use in Canada. So we went down the road of creating a new system that we require an addendum to the EA in order to move forward with. So it's really not another study. It's making sure that the engineers say, oh, yes, this system will work and it's okay, so that the MECP can check off the okay list and allow us to move forward. We fully anticipate that in 2023, we will be constructing the upgrades to that system that will both fix the ammonia problem and add capacity to the plant that will take us out 25 or more years.
Are you prepared, if you're elected mayor going forward, to guarantee that by the end of this next term of council, that this issue is going to be dealt with and put behind you?
If this issue isn't solved within the next few years, we will all have to wear egg on our face. Absolutely, Robert, this must be solved long before the end of the next term of council.
You started talking about affordable housing. I'd like to go back to that if we can. What is Brighton doing, or what have you done over the last 4 years to ensure that affordable housing is present in Brighton?
Yeah, really good questions. I mean, housing affordability is top of everyone's mind. I'm fortunate enough to have a roof over my head, but I have two daughters in their 20s, and I worry. I worry for that whole generation, and I have a mom who's not a young person anymore. I hope she doesn't hear me say that. But I worry for what her next step might be. She still lives in the house that I grew up in, but at some point that might not be able to continue. So we've put planning policies in place here in Brighton that are directing developers or nudging developers, encouraging developers to ensure that there is a mix of product in the development. And developers are responding well to that. I think they understand that if they want to be able to sell a house, they better be able to sell one that's affordable in the marketplace. So, we've got a new development that was just passed that is purpose-built rentals. It's townhome rentals, but it's purpose-built rentals for probably the seniors market. But there it is. It is rental living. We've got another development that will require the houses, the singles and the semis will be required to have secondary units in each one so that there are rental suites available in that subdivision. And the most recent subdivision we passed has, by and large, smaller footprint homes. So semis, townhomes, and stacked apartment style suites so that we are putting products on the marketplace here in Brighton that are more attainable and more affordable in the marketplace. But from a government-assisted building point of view, we are here in Brighton, we're going through the land banking process so that we know what lands are municipally owned that might be ready for government-assisted housing, county social housing, if you will. And and lands that might be available for purchase municipally, so that we can open those partnerships and discussions with the County of Northumberland about where and when we can start building assisted living, assisted government assisted housing here in Brighton.
Roads are vitally important. What are your plans to keep roads maintained over the next 4 years?
You know, the one thing about this term of council that I'm incredibly proud of for our council is we took infrastructure very seriously. We are now resurfacing more rural roads in our north end than we ever have on a year-by-year basis. We know we need to resurface, reconstruct and resurface about 27 kilometers of roadway, rural roadway, in the rural area of our municipality, and we've hit that mark. So that we just need to make sure we continue to hit that mark so that we don't go backwards. From an urban roads perspective, we're getting all those designs in place that we need so that when the federal and provincial government come with money, because of course it's much cheaper to resurface a rural road than it is an urban road with all that water and sewer and storm sewer underneath. So you can do a few kilometers of rural road for hundreds of thousands of dollars, where the same is millions of dollars in urbanized roadway. So we're going to need help from our provincial and federal friends. I will be complimentary to our provincial government here. They have been very, very forthcoming with dollars and cents through the Ontario Community Infrastructure Fund. It has allowed Brighton to reconstruct two urban roadways in our municipality that have been on the books to reconstruct for years. And, full reconstruction, water, sewer, storm sewer, and then full pavement. So we're gonna need that funding. And if there's one thing that MPP Pacini and Premier Ford will get sick of Mayor Ostrander saying, it's we need sustainable provincial funding for infrastructure. The OSIF money is great, but we need to know what's coming every year.
The town has started a process to create a master plan for parks and recreations. Where do you want to see the town's resources focused when it comes to parks and rec?
Sure. So a couple of places here. Trail development, I think, is not just a huge opportunity, but very important for our community. I think we see a lot of people move to Brighton because of various trails. And I think some of them come and they get into their house and say, well, hey, that trail's not connected to my home. So we want to make those connections better. But I also want to see trails upgraded so that they can be used, so that they're more accessible to people who are aging and may have accessibility concerns. And I want to see them being able to be used more times of the day, so with some lighting perhaps, and more times of the year, so that we're able to use them even in the winter. Those are important trail developments for me. And then from a recreational facility perspective, we just need to modernize what we have. We have a lot of good things in Brighton, but it's time to upgrade those things or redevelop those things so that they're newer, because they're aging, and we know they're aging. And we have a growing population that is looking for more recreational opportunities.
What is your plan for economic development if you're reelected?
Well, I'm gonna pull back the curtain here and talk about what happened 8 years ago. 8 years ago, I sat at council as a member of council, and I think my chin hit my desk when I watched council decimate our economic development team in one fell swoop, one motion. It was gone, and it left a hollow feeling in my stomach that evening. And I committed to myself that if I was going to move forward in Brighton, it would be in a leadership position that would rebuild that economic development team. And I'm incredibly proud of my council that they did that. It was one of our first moves. We're starting to slowly rebuild that economic development team. It's allowed for better grant opportunities in the community to bring grants to the community, both to the municipality and to other groups in the community. And it's also increased our land sales at the industrial park, which not just brings jobs, it also helps shift that tax base away from residential and farm taxes, which is incredibly important for a community like Brighton. So my intention will be to continue to grow that economic development team locally and to continue to nurture my partnerships with Quinte Economic Development and with the Bay of Quinte Regional Marketing Board and, of course, with our Northumberland Economic Development team. Because when we're working together, we know that everybody rises at the same time. You know, a rising tide floats all boats is the saying, and I believe that to be true. A job in Coburg is a job for Brighton. A job in Belleville is a job for Brighton. And a job in Brighton is equally important to me.
You've been on council for many terms, and during that time, there's been a steady increase in property taxes. What can you say to people listening who might be concerned about their property taxes going up in the future if you're reelected?
Yeah, fair question. I don't think too many municipalities were able to decrease their tax rates over the course of the last 19 years or so. I was first elected in 2003. I can say firmly that we've always endeavored to stick very closely to inflationary rates. But we are very much caught in that stream. If the price of asphalt goes up, there's no way to make it cheaper. And so, you know, we have to make sure we're paving those roads and fixing those sidewalks and ensuring that water and sewage are flowing properly to where they're supposed to flow and being treated properly for everybody's safety. At the end of the day, though, our growth patterns suggest to me that we should be able to manage our next tax season without impacting everyone terribly. We know inflation is at 6-7%. We know the construction price index is at 14-15%. My intention would be to hold our any tax rates to the 3-3.5%. I think that's only fair to the people of the community. I wouldn't intend to impact anybody at a larger rate than that. And, you know, that's just thanks to the folks who've moved into the community and are paying taxes now, new people who are paying taxes. And as I mentioned, that shift toward commercial and industrial properties that allows us to absorb more revenue and not impact the residential taxpayer as well as much.
What do you do when you're not doing politics or running for mayor? How do you relax? What do you do for fun? Do you have any hobbies or guilty pleasures?
Well, when there's snow on the ground, I do like to ski. I'm a downhill skier. I'm not like many golfers. I'm not terribly good at it, but I do enjoy it. I like going down the hill. I find it's one of the times when I'm absolutely focused in the moment. I'm not thinking about three or four steps ahead or worried about strategic opportunities. I'm just worried about keeping my feet on the ground, quite frankly, especially as I age, Robert. I worry how that's going to feel if I do hit the ground when I'm skiing down that hill. But the other thing we love to do is as our daughters are in their 20s now, we just like to get together with family. My mom lives in the community, so we do take every opportunity we can to come together as a family. Sort of block out the noise and we laugh until tears roll down our faces. That's what we do in our family.
Why will you be a good mayor if you're reelected?
I certainly hope people think that I was a good mayor for the last 4 years. Much of my term was being a cheerleader for public health. I never thought I'd be a public health cheerleader. That's certainly not why I got into the gig, but it was an important role. We all had to play it, as far as I was concerned. I did what I thought was responsible for my community, helping keeping everybody safe and healthy. I helped keep those wheels on the bus as we were in constant pivot mode, moving staff around. Splitting shifts so that staff, one crew wouldn't be mixed with another in case someone got sick. And throughout all of that, working with our senior management, working with our staff, we not just kept people by and large safe and healthy in the community, we got the work done that the people expected to be done. All the while maintaining those mandates that I was elected to, putting strategic plans in place, getting asset management done, providing opportunities for secondary planning. All of those things happened during my term council. I've led this council through some pretty strange motions and offered my advice from a procedural point of view on how we should best move our council forward. And, you know, by and large, Robert, after some compromise and some work around the table, we passed almost every motion, not everyone, but almost every motion was passed unanimously by this council. So that tells me that we all did something right. And I was certainly able to lead that team through some pretty rocky times.
Brian Orstrander, thank you so much for talking to me today.
Robert, it's a real pleasure. Thank you.
That was Brian Orstrander, who is running for a second term as mayor of Brighton. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.